Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're looking at our grow group, we're looking at our thing we're calling relationships in Christ. And we're looking at three key things. Because we have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we're connected in three different aspects. Let me just show you what we've been looking at. Our relationship with Christ, relationship with the world, which are the unbelievers, and the relationship with the body of Christ. Now, we have moved into in our study to the last section, which is really the one we want to spend the most time on. And that is the three key areas in the relationship with the body of Christ. Having a mentor, having an encourager, and having a disciple. That's so important. We talked about it. There needs to be someone in our lives that are mentoring us, they're helping us grow. There needs to be someone in our life who's the encourager that's, you know, exciting us and keeping us going. And then there's to be at least somebody in your life, or more than one, somebody that is helping, that you're helping them grow and be discipled. So we're going to look at that. And so today we're looking really at the mentor. The first one, the Paul, and we'll see more about that. Let's do a prayer as we get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, help us as we study, as we see about having a mentor, having an encourager, having a disciple. Help us to be ready to take what we've been taught and pass it on. Help us to be taught and teach others, and we thank you for those encouragers. Lord, teach us now. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I coached track for a long time, for a number of years at Mississippi State. And when you boil it down, there's only really two kind of races, short races and long races. A lot of times we call them middle distance, but nowadays the middle distance runners are running so fast, it's really like a short race. When you think of the Christian life, is it a short race or a long race? Well, the truth is, it's a long race. Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us run the race with endurance. Run with endurance the race set before us. And so when you think about the Christian life, it begins. The moment you trust in Christ as Savior, you begin in a time period which we call the race of the Christian life, the run of the Christian life. And we stay in that race until either Jesus comes to get us, which is the rapture, or that we die and we go to meet him. Now, how are we going to grow? How are we going to make an impact for Jesus Christ? Every one of us in this room, we come to this church, we come on a weekly basis, and we're here, and we come to the services and the different ministries and different things. But how are we going to grow? Well, we need a mentor. We need, every one of us needs someone that's going to help us run the race, a Paul, a mentor, someone who's further down the road. And so in this idea of the Christian life, we said three things. We all need a Paul, which is the mentor. We need a Barnabas, the encourager. We all need having a Timothy in our lives, which is somebody we disciple. And we're going to talk about all three of them, but this lesson and the next lesson is going to deal with the Paul in your life, the mentor in your life. And we've got some pretty good things to say about it, some things to think about it. But what I want to do, just a quick review of what we've seen in the study as a whole. We talked about our relationship to God, and that we've gone from death to life, or to know him and become like him. We talked about our relationship to the unbelievers. It deals with our good works, our words, which is our message, and our testimony, being lights in the midst of a fallen world. Now we've come to the third section, which is relationship to our fellow believers. And we all need a Paul, someone to help disciple us. And as you think about your life, who is further down the road that's helping you grow, that's helping you understand the scripture, that's helping you become more and more like Christ? Second, we all need a Barnabas. That's an encourager. Someone there to encourage us, to keep us going, because we all know that ministry and the race is long. It's a long race. It's not a short race. Listen, when I used to coach, you know, sprinters, you know, the 100 and the 200, I mean, it's over pretty fast, you know. But when you talk about somebody running a marathon, I mean, you tell them to go run, and then you go get something to eat, you know, and then come back, and they're still running. The Christian life is not a real fast thing. It's a long time, day after day after day after day after day. So we need somebody to encourage us. And then finally, we need a Timothy. We need someone that we're discipling. Now, here's where a lot of Christians fail. They all say, oh, I want to come learn. I want to come learn. I want to come learn. Then you say, well, who are you teaching? I'm not able to teach anybody. Well, have you been learning for years, right? You've been taking stuff in for years. Who are you passing it on to? Who is your Timothy? Who are you discipling? And so that's the big three. Well, let me tell you, why is it so important? And you'll have to change something on your book. Proverbs 27:17. On your hand, it, I think it was wrong last week. I just didn't get it changed. It's Proverbs 27:17. I think it's you probably got it written. I don't know if any of y'all are taking notes, and if it doesn't matter if you don't need them. But it's Proverbs 27:17. I think on our handout it was 22:17. But it's iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Do you realize that your mentor is sharpening you? You're Barnabas, and you're a Barnabas to somebody else. You're sharpening somebody else. When you're discipling somebody, you're Timothy, you're sharpening them, and they're sharpening you. So the Bible says that as we grow, as we continue to go through life, we're sharpening one another. That's the plan. Now, this positive and negative, I want you to understand something. It's positive and negative. It's positive that the wise, walk with the wise and you'll be what? Walk with the wise and you'll be wise. But look at this. In Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, be careful if you hang around an angry person because you don't want to learn his ways. So when you start saying, I want to hang around with other believers and I want them to sharpen me, you want the kind that are going to sharpen you in the good way, not the bad way. That old saying, birds of a feather what? Flock together. And let me tell you, I remember, I'll just throw this out real quickly. When I was in the seventh grade, we went to junior high, and there's one guy had every class with me. And his name ended with a B, and they put us in alphabetical order. And so we sat side by side. And for about the first couple of weeks of school, I got to know him. And so one day, I said, well, you want to come over to my house? So we came over to my house. And on the way home, my mother picked us up. And on the way home, we went by a store. We got to my house. He pulled out a thing of M&Ms out of his pocket. And I said, "What? I didn't see you buy that." He said, "I didn't buy it." I said, "Well, you stole M&Ms from the store when we were in there?" And he went, "Yeah, nobody cares." And then the next time I was with him, we were at our elementary school, and there was a hose on the ground. Back in those days, you could carry a knife. He picked up a knife and cut the hose. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Nobody cares." I went back to my mother and I said, "You know what he did?" She said, You can never be with him again. Don't invite him to the house. You don't need to hang around with him because he will get you what? Into trouble. And it's true. Listen, iron sharpens iron. You want to grow, you find somebody that's growing. You want to be encouraged, you find somebody that's an encourager. You want to disciple and help somebody else grow, you find somebody that wants to grow. Because I'm going to tell you what, you can get with the negative people and they'll pull you down. You can get with the positive people and they'll pull you up. So this is what he talks about. So let's talk about something here. Let's look at the big three, and I'm going to go fairly quickly this morning. The mentor, the one who disciples, the encourager, the one who exhorts, and the disciple is the one we disciple. We're looking at the mentor, the one who disciples us, the Paul. I hope all of us have like a Paul in our lives, someone who's further down the road, somebody who that you're learning from, that you're growing from, that you're doing those kind of things. We need that. Now, why do you call them, why do you think they're called a mentor? You know why? Well, listen to this. When Odysseus, you go back, when Odysseus was fighting and Troy was fighting the Trojan War, he left his son under a guardianship and a trainer, a man by the name of Mentor. And so he took care of Odysseus' son while they fought the war. And so the mentor was the one who took care of his son. And so then from that point on, it says they're a mentor. They're someone who takes care, the one who trains, the one who equips, the one who helps. So when we think about a mentor or somebody that's going to help us, so to speak, there are four things that I think, and it's going to take two, we're going to look at two this morning and two next week. There are four things we do when we, in a sense, are with this mentor. First, we follow their example. Second, we have to have that kindred spirit. Third, they help us learn the word of God. And fourth, we serve with them. That's the four things that you gain from a mentor. And I want you to think about, this needs to be very practical. You need, all of us, we need mentors. We need people further down the road that we can follow their example, that we can have the kindred spirit, we can learn the word of God, we can serve with them. So let's talk about the first one, following their example. Now, I think on your handout, I have a mistake. You know, with my dyslexia, I think I put on there 1 Corinthians 1:11. It's supposed to be 1 Corinthians 11:1. You know I've got dyslexia, so I've got an excuse. But anyway, it should be 1 Corinthians 11:1. If you have your Bibles, I told you earlier to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 1. It says, "Be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. Now, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. He actually told them to imitate him. Now, if we're going to be looking to someone to be a mentor and we want to follow their example, we better make sure that they're imitating Christ. So the person that we're looking to that we want to follow as an example, it needs to be somebody who's growing, someone who's on fire, someone who knows the Bible, someone who can teach. It must be a person who is a disciple maker. The old saying is, in order to make disciples, you've got to be a disciple. So you got to find somebody that's further down the road that wants to disciple us. That's the plan. We want to be like them. Our goal is to follow their example. Listen to this, and I'm going to put the verse up. It's Philippians 3:17. Listen to this verse. I love this verse. Sometimes we overlook verses, 3:17. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." He says, follow my example. Now, Paul wasn't saying dress like me. He was saying, listen, what am I doing? My life is for Christ. I'm leading people to Christ. I'm equipping and training. I'm going from places and establishing churches. I'm helping disciple other people. I've got people like Timothy and Titus and all these other people. And so he's saying, follow my example. And he says, and observe those who walk this way. In other words, look at the other people who are going the same way, and you get in there and you do the same thing. So every one of us in this room, we need to be growing and touching lives for Christ, and you need to look to someone who's doing that and say, I want to be like them. I want to grow in that way. In my life, there's been NAP. Most of you heard me talk about NAP. NAP helped lead me to Christ when I was 19 years old, wandered into that Bible study. I didn't know it was a Bible study. They shut the door. I couldn't get out, but I'm glad I didn't get out. And so Knapp was there. And then Ken Shepherd, who was the pastor at Borger, and I was there before I ever came to Stillwater, and while I was in seminary, he's been a great pitcher. I go back to Coach Bob Tyler. If you know, this summer, I went to a special reunion, a 50-year reunion of a football team we were on. Coach Tyler was the head coach of an all-star team, and I happened to get to be on that team. And so I got to see him. He's still my hero. He's still my hero. And then there was a guy named Butch Simmons, and then Prof. Hendricks at Dallas Seminary. When I first went to his class, I didn't know what to expect. People said, you're going to like Prof. Hendricks. He would walk into that class, and he'd go, okay, men, turning your Bibles, we're going to study the Word of God. That's how he talked. We'd go, well, okay, Prof. And then all of a sudden, you'd look up, and class was over, and you thought, I thought it just started. Because he was such a great teacher, and I got to be with him. So he mentored me in that sense. So who in your life is a pattern? And so if I talk like Prof. Hendricks, it's because I watched him a lot. So when you look at someone further down the road, you want to look at things like their study habits, their work habits, how they treat others, how they serve Christ. Do they share their faith? Are they reading and studying? They're reading and studying the Word of God. These are what you want to follow. If this person is your mentor, has a quiet time, you should say, they have a quiet time. It must be important. I need to have a quiet time. If they study the Bible, you say, it must be important. I study the Bible. Watch how they treat other people. And you go, wow, that's how they treat people. That's the way people ought to be treated. We're looking at someone further down the road to help us. Now, with that in mind, we're going to take a few more minutes. There's another one, and this is a key, and it's called have a kindred spirit. That means you connect. That means you connect. Let me give you a couple of verses. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, but I hope, and he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. We all know who Timothy was, 1 and 2 Timothy, two letters he wrote to this guy. Paul says, I want to send Timothy to you shortly so that I may be encouraged when I learn about you, basically. He says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit, he's talking about Timothy, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Paul says, I got nobody else that really matches me like this guy. He's the guy. It'd be like when I send Timothy to you, Paul's saying, it's like sending me to you. He says, he's my guy. We match. And when you talk about kindred spirit, it literally has an idea of like soul. In other words, you match each other. You have the same kind of goals, the same kind of drives. We see the ministry in the same way. We connect in the same way. Now, I don't want to embarrass Brian. I love Brian. And he's, to me, for some reason, I don't know why, but I do know why I love him. I don't know why he loves me. I think we love each other in a great way, and I love him, and he's a kindred spirit for me. and he's also a Barnabas. He's everything in that. So I'm very fortunate in my life to have somebody like that. And so there's, when this person that you're looking to, that's further down the road, that's supposed to be the person that is mentoring you, they got to match you. They got to have the same goals and the same drives, and you see ministry in the same way. You got to connect. And he writes in Philippians, when he says this about that, he says that nobody is concerned in the same way as he is. He matches. And so this morning, we have seen that when we're going to look at our mentor, they're examples for us. When we look at a mentor, they're a kindred spirit. Let me just say this to you. If you have somebody that's further down the road and you say, wow, I would love that person to mentor me. It's really hard if you just go up to somebody and go, would you be my mentor? Most people are so busy, they go, I don't even know what you're talking about. But what you do is you build a relationship. And see, you may think somebody further down the road ought to be your mentor, but you don't have that kindred spirit with them. It doesn't match. It's got to match. And so as you think about this and you look for people in our body that are further down the road than you are, and you want somebody to help mentor you, as we'd say, help disciple you, to take what they've been taught and pass it on to you. And we're not just talking about Bible knowledge there. We're talking about life. We're talking about pattern of life. You need to find not only someone who is a great example for you of Jesus Christ, but also a person that is that kindred spirit with you that connects. Now, we're going to talk later about a Barnabas. So Barnabas is a kindred spirit with you, and they just encourage you. But we're talking about somebody, Barnabas is the encourager. This is the person that's helping train you and helping you be taught and to grow and those kind of things. So next time, we will see these two other areas that we learn the word of God from them, and we serve with the mentor as well. So what have we seen? We need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. And this morning we've looked at the mentor. So let me give you a couple of applications. The first, who is your Paul? Who in this body or who in your life would be what you call the mentor, the person on down? I'm going to say this in a couple of weeks, but let me throw this out. Somebody may have been a mentor to you 20 years ago. That doesn't mean they're the mentor to you now. Because time changes, you move, you change, they change. It could be in your life that you have 3 to 4 to 5 different people at different times in your life. Listen, when I wanted to be a football coach, when all I wanted to be was a football coach, Bob Tyler was the head coach at Meridian, and then he became the head coach at Mississippi State, and he hired me, and he was my mentor as far as coaching. But when God changed my desires, then Nap came, and then Ken came to be mentors for me as a pastor. And so you don't have, even though I would say Coach Tyler's still one of my heroes, he's not a mentor to me now because he was a great man, but it was more in the football realm, and his others are more in the pastoral realm. And so your life, you may have, if you're 20 to 30 years old, you may have a particular mentor now, but when you're 40 or 50 years old, there may be somebody else that God brings into your life. But all of us need someone further down the road. So who is your Paul? Who is your example that you can look at, and say, that's the way I want to be. I want to be a godly man, a godly woman like that person. And then second is, who is your kindred spirit? Who is that? Someone that matches you. The same dreams, goals, desires to help you so that you're going toward the same thing. So this morning, we just got started on the mentor. I know time is up, and we'll go to our grow groups and spend whatever time there, and we come back here. Don't forget, we've got, we got at Daniel chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar becomes the mind of an animal.